Would you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10? We're looking at verses 38 through 42. It's a well-known story. You probably know it. It's the story of Mary and Martha. Just a few verses, but a whole lot there. Luke tells us, verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister who was also called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, Jesus answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only a few things are needed. Indeed, only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you once again for this day. Thank you for the freedom we have to assemble as your people, as a spiritual family, to worship you together each week, as well as throughout the week as well. And Lord, we just ask, as we always ask, for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear, everything you want to speak to our hearts this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name, saying, amen. Amen. Well, it's hard to believe, but I was thinking about this week, but actually in 2023, it will be actually for me 20 years since I finished my PhD. It was a grueling process. It took 8 years for that degree in New Testament and early Christianity, as well as systematic theology. I was pastoring a small church. There it is. Spent a lot of time there. Oh, man. I was pastoring a small church on the south side of Chicago full-time. I was drained. I was exhausted. And I decided in 2003 to go back to my native Michigan for a couple weeks of rest and reflection and prayer. And God allowed me to meet with my parents' pastor. I've talked about him a little bit, Reverend Bill Donahue. And he had been my parents' pastor for 10 years. And it was really under his ministry that my mom really, I think, made a really rock-solid commitment to Jesus Christ, and he helped officiate my father's funeral last April. Now, he's retired from ministry now, but he has this wonderful gift of discipleship and spiritual discernment, and I was fortunate, wow, 20 years ago, to spend 3 hours with him, and we talked about all kinds of things, life, ministry, school, but he realized that it had been a very draining year for me in that year. And we talked about all kinds of things. The program itself was exciting, but it was incredibly demanding academically, spiritually. You may not realize a PhD is brutal on families. It's terrible on families. It's ironic that in studying academically, studying New Testament, I was one of the few guys to graduate with my family and marriage intact. Most of them got divorced. Isn't that crazy? This is not Sunday school. This is academic. It's crazy. It's all you do. It was common at that time to for the wives of the guys studying, they would talk about their husband's mistress. That's what they, it wasn't another woman. It was the academic program that took all that time away from them and the families. And I remember, it's sort of silly now, I spent so much time in the library. Yeah, there it is. A lot of time there. So much time in the librarians that the librarians actually gave me a room, a locked room that I could use whenever I wanted. And this was kind of funny. I was never an employee of the university library, but I was there so much that all the undergraduate college students thought I was a librarian. Or worse yet, an academic bibliographer. And so they always came to me when I was in the library to help them find books and research materials. I never told them that I was not a librarian, but they just assumed I was. They wouldn't have cared anyway because they were scared of half of the old librarians there anyway. Remember the old librarians? Shh! You know, it's like, so I seemed to attract them. When I finally graduated after 8 years and sat down with Pastor Bill, one of the best things he did for me was to call me back to basics. And this is what I really want to share this morning. He looked me straight in the eye and he said, what is the one thing? What's the one thing? We've been through a lot of stuff in the last couple of years. COVID, all kind of stuff. People are kind of tired. I just want to ask you that question. What is the one thing in your life? And when Pastor Bill asked me, I said, oh, that's easy. That's Luke 10, sitting at the feet of Jesus. But it was an automatic reply, but yeah, we have that answer in our head, but do our lives bear that out? Are we sitting at the feet of Jesus? So I had plenty of food for thought there. Americans are busy. Now, the pace of life in Montana is much more sane. But even so, we can all be very busy in our lives. Christian author John Eldridge said this about us being Americans. He said, you know, busyness is the spirit of our age. And I think it's true, right? Busyness, constant multitasking, swipe, 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 turn it on, ding, all this kind of stuff. It's really changed our world in recent years. But have you ever thought that all of the busyness, all of the multitasking is a tool of Satan? You ever thought of that? Well, I'm just so busy, as if that was virtuous, as if that were a good thing. Well, Americans, we gotta be busy. Why? Why do we constantly have to be busy? Satan uses this. He loves to keep Christians busy so we forget important truths like John 15. Remember that one? Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. But we act like we're vines, don't we, sometimes? We're not. We're just the branches. Here's Satan's strategy. Disconnect them from the vine, take away their spiritual food, run them into the ground, and watch them die. Have you seen this happen in people's lives? Maybe you can testify to that. It's insidious. It's very common. So the good news is when we open God's word, especially in Luke 10, this is not a new thing, right? People were struggling with this very issue even in Jesus's day. Even when Jesus was present to people, they're still struggling with this. That's what we see in Luke 10. If you have your Bible, just scan it. It's just like four verses or so. 38 through 42, priceless story, Mary and Martha, how Martha lost sight of the one thing. That's what this is really about. Now, I have heard sermons about this passage, and I think sometimes it does a disservice because Martha's not a villainess, right? She's not sinful. I've heard preachers say, you know, kind of make her out to be a household Nazi. Complaining to Jesus about her domestically challenged sister who's not helping out. That's not really what this is about. The biblical Martha is not Martha Stewart. You ever watch Martha Stewart? I mean, she can cook and all kind of stuff. There's something about that woman that just makes me uncomfortable. Just kind of judgmental. Is this me or am I just, you know, it's like, she can do so many different things. I sometimes feel bad when you watch it because, like, I can't toss a salad like Martha Stewart. You know, I can't roast a Christmas goose. I can't grow my own orchids from tropical seeds, right? That's not what this Martha is really about. Don't get me wrong. I think Martha Stewart's kind of gifted, kind of cool, except for her little stint in the clink for inside trading. Bad Martha. Shame Martha. No, we don't do shame here, but... The biblical Martha was doing what any good and godly woman would have been doing in Jesus' day, right? That's not necessarily our day, but she was in the kitchen preparing food and refreshments for the well-being of her guests, right? Martha deeply cared. She was a woman with the godly gift of hospitality. Hospitality, that is such an important Christian gift, right? I wish more people in the churches of Jesus Christ would pray for hospitality instead of all the spiritual gifts that razzle and dazzle. I'm just going to go there. I've heard that. Jim, I feel led to pray for the gift of tongues. Huh. Really? I talked to your wife and she wants you to shut up, but that's a different thing. I feel led to pray for the gift of prophecy or the gift to work miracles. Why? So you can be a spiritual show-off? Right? God can't bless that. I'm not saying God doesn't give certain gifts to different people, but why do so many Christians want the big sign showy gifts? How come I never hear somebody say, Jim, I feel led to pray to God for the gift of mercy? Couldn't our world use a lot more mercy? Yeah, I feel led to pray for the gift of hospitality like Martha had, right? I think if you want to impact a scoffing, broken world with the powerful gospel of Jesus Christ, it won't be with the razzle-dazzle. It will be with things like hospitality, mercy, these sorts of things, if we really want to reach people with the one thing, Jesus Christ. Now, on a casual read with these few verses, it's easy to miss certain details in this story, right? Verse 38, for example. Jesus and his disciples passed through Mary and Martha's village. Who opened their home to Jesus and his disciples? It was Martha, right? It wasn't Mary, right? Only God knows what Mary was up to, but she doesn't seem to have gone out of her way to be hospitable, right? As I was talking with Pastor Bill about this passage, he informed me of something that sort of always escaped me, I guess. I never thought about it that way. But in that time, as a woman, it was not only presumptuous, but it was audacious for Mary to sit at the feet of a rabbi. That's how they learned, right? To be near them. A rabbi just means authoritative teacher, right? That was only for the Jewish men, and that was only men that the rabbi selected. It was a selection process, but Mary just sort of does her own thing, right? Yes, the women could listen to a bit of the teaching, but they weren't invited to the lecture or the Q&A session. This is what's really striking. Jesus didn't mind having Mary sitting there with the guys listening. He actually encouraged it. That was not done. But here's the problem. It was the many, many details of providing food and hospitality for so many people in her home that Martha became overwhelmed with too many good things. Do you know this feeling? For a lot of Christians, it's not some flagrant or bizarre sin. Nowhere does it say Martha was sinning. She wasn't. She got overwhelmed by too many things in place of the best thing. How many times do we, oh, this is a good thing, I'll get some of this, I'll do some of that, and we're tired and exhausted, and it's like, but what's the one thing? What's the best thing? I think Christians can drown with good things and forget the best thing, right? The text says Martha was distracted. We've talked about this word before. It should be deeply troubling. To be distracted in Greek literally means to be pulled apart at the joints, right? Think medieval drawing and quartering. Isn't that fun? Oh, there we go. Yeah, and you say yah to the horses and you are quartered, right? If you want to learn more, just Google it for fun today on Sunday. Yeah, yes, William Wallace. The Greek word also means, to distract it, it means to be dragged all around. New thing for me when I moved to Montana, I observed a couple guys who had been dragged by horses, and it wasn't pretty. I mean, coming into church, you know, like this, you know, they got dragged around by a horse. That's a really dangerous thing. That's this idea in the Bible, distracted, pulled apart, dragged around by a horse. I think all of us can identify with that feeling at one point in our lives or another. It's very familiar. I wonder how many of us are distracted by good things. Too many good things. As we grow older, you know, it's a blessing to say no. We don't have to say yes to everything. I used to be, to every good opportunity, oh, yes, I'll do that, yes, I'll do that. Well, why do I not have any peace in my life? I'm just trying to serve God. Well, distraction. That is a tool of Satan. Again, not wrong or sinful things, but good things. Could be, you know, family, school, place of work, whatever it may be for you, friends or family. We get dragged around by an abundance of distractions and cares and anxieties. So part of the point is to remember too many good things can harm you, right? It can be make it difficult for you or your family. That's what happened to Martha. Her spiritual well-being was forfeited by doing too many good things or trying to do too many good things, right? But Jesus did not rebuke her, really. Right, she was kind of a frazzled server. Have you ever noticed that there's help signs in every restaurant around town? Actually, in the nation now, right? And I don't understand, as Christians, we've talked about this, it is, do not hassle your servers. One, because we don't have enough of them. But two, even if you're the biggest narcissist on planet Earth, we've talked about this. A lot can happen to your food between the kitchen and your fork. How about that for a picture? Don't do it. I've heard horror stories of things that I could never talk about in church and wouldn't want to anyway. Martha's a frazzled server. Jesus doesn't rebuke her. He kind of brings her back to the best thing. What does he say? You're concerned and upset about so many things, but only one thing is needed: to be near me, to listen with your heart like your unconventional sister Mary. You know, so I know people get upset, you know, but sometimes, you know, you got to let the men make their own fried bologna sandwich or boil water, and if they can't, let them starve. Let them starve. That's my interpretation. That's not in the Bible. But the idea is drop what you're doing, sit near Jesus every day, listen to what he wants to say to your heart. It's so easy. Do you believe that God speaks? Or is this just in the Bible? God still speaks. Are we sitting and listening? It's pretty hard when we're running around. And that was Martha's issue too. That's the one thing. If all of our work, our Christian lives, don't revolve around this basic lesson, then we'll fill our lives with good things and all the while wonder why we can't hear from Jesus. I don't hear from Jesus. I don't know what God wants me to do. Have you sat down and listened? You know, prayer is as much more listening than talking. Did you know that? We need to be reminded of these things. I need to be reminded. That's the one thing. My simple question to you this morning, and it's a question to myself as well, have you been sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to him? Does that characterize your life? Or are we following Martha's example? Easy to do, right? If we aren't sitting near Jesus each and every day, worship, prayer, attention to his words in the Bible, then we've forgotten the one thing and it's time to get back on track. This is just a little reminder in the new year, people. I think we all need it, right? Mary and Martha is a clear example of Christian basics for us, right? As we drop the busy business of life to sit at the feet of Jesus in an attentive, intentional way each and every day. What I've found is, for a lot of people, if they jump out of bed and just get busy, they'll get on with their day and forget to spend time in prayer and with Jesus. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? Some of you are like, you know? This is not meant to rebuke. It's just a reminder, that's all. It's so easy to get off track. This is time to get back on track in 2023. Now, it's one thing for me to talk about the one thing, but how about some practical ideas, right? How you could be sitting at the feet of Jesus in a little more intentional way in 2023. Here's a few ideas. You ever go on a prayer walk? That's a nice thing to do. We live in a beautiful place. I mean, some places I was praying. I had to pray because of places I was walking, literally. But that's not so much here, unless you run into that grizzly out there somewhere. But praying for families, for children, for people, there's so much we can be praying for and about. Back to the old idea of a circle of three. Well, I pray for everybody. I witness to everyone. Probably not, actually. Are there two or three people in your life that God is putting on your heart that you're praying for? You're investing in their lives in a practical way, helping them, loving on them, praying for them. That could be anybody. God will put that on your heart. But who's your circle of three? Question. Now, second one, this is easy here. You know, beauty is so healing. Sit in a beautiful place. Take your Bible with you. Or maybe even before doing that, for a lot of people, you just need to breathe for a couple minutes. How about that? Take a deep breath, and when the sigh comes, then you can begin. You know what I'm talking about? We're so amped up. The Bible talks all about God's beautiful creation. That may be something. I mentioned this a couple, 3 weeks back. Have you ever prayed through the Psalms? I think Greg showed a little resource. He gave me one. It was like 30, 31 days in the Psalms and the Proverbs. That was a great monthly devotional thing I did recently. That the psalmists, especially David, are so passionate about their love for God. Might be something to do. How about a Christian classic? Is there a Christian book you've been meaning to read for years that you just haven't? Maybe that'd be a good thing to do. We've got a literature rack with some really good resources. Take whatever you want, that for free. That's why we do that. Laughing with Troy this morning, you were telling me the truth, right, man? Yeah, the dog ate his our daily bread, he tells me. So you need another one. That can happen. I love this little book. If you're not used to time with Jesus every day, this is so easy. This is the first thing I do when I wake up. A short devotional, a little prayer, and a little scripture just to get my head in the game for the day. These are back there. Take as many as you like. We give away good Bibles. This is the best, I think, the best study Bible in the English language. Not cheap. If you need a good Bible, we invest in these. Take it and read it. You know, don't just put it on the shelf. But having access to God's word is a huge thing. Anybody still memorize scripture? Is that still a thing? A couple of you? I'm telling you, I've memorized a lot of scripture. I when I first became a Christian, I did it in the King James. You don't have to do that anymore, right? But isn't it amazing that if you get God's word here, it will come back when you need it. The Spirit will bring that up at certain times when you're struggling or whatever, and a promise of God or whatever. I encourage it. It's an old school thing, you know. It's like, well, I got it right here. It's right here. No, put it here, right? That might be something to do. Well, speaking of archaic practices, anybody ever use a hymnal? Do you know what a hymnal is? I know Dwight and Bonnie do. Well, what's a hymnal? You know, the things that we used to sing out of in churches, the great hymns of the faith, we sing some of those hymns at different times, but have you ever sang your way through a hymnal or prayed your way through a hymnal? I've done that. It's a blessing, actually. Now, some of the hymns, I'm like, I forgot that one. YouTube, oh, there it is. It's something worth doing or thinking about. Oh, here's one that people can get on board with. How about watch Jesus movies for a week? That'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? Every night you're going to watch a different Jesus movie, you know, and kind of correspond it with your reading of the Gospels. Oh, okay. How many of you have seen the new miniseries, The Chosen? I love the series. They're finishing the third season right now. If you haven't seen The Chosen, check it out. It's so well done, and you can stream it for free. The cool thing that the founder of this, Dallas Jenkins, he broke the mold, the Hollywood mold, as a Christian, and it's the largest crowdsourced movie about Jesus in the history of history, and it's all for free, and everybody's loving it, and Hollywood can't capitalize on it. It's like, what a great model. But if you haven't seen The Chosen, it's well worth your seeing. Anybody ever take a retreat? There's an old-fashioned, all these old-fashioned things. How about get away somewhere else for 2 or 3 days and just be quiet? Ooh, don't bring your phone. You know, Jesus, if I say, don't bring your phone, it's some people look at me like I told you to slap your grandmother. I did not. Are we addicted a little bit? Maybe, just a thought. Get away somewhere for 2 or 3 days. Take your Bible, pray, enjoy little hikes, maybe sleep in a little bit. Anybody use a nap? Yeah, all the time, man. My nap is on Sunday after lunch because by then I'm like, you know. But that's a good thing. These are just some practical ideas about sitting at the feet of Jesus for you in 2023. You know, any of these could be helpful. You may think of other things. It's just an example. Here's my point this morning. Finding a regular time each and every day to sit at the feet of Jesus for prayer, reflection, Bible reading, this is going to be key for your long-term spiritual growth. This has long-term spiritual gains. We talk about a money package, or many of you have saved over the years or invested in things. Have you ever thought about your spiritual life as an investment? Do we take it that seriously? Or are we just so casual? I got nothing else to do. Maybe I'll go to church. Really? Or is this part of your spiritual life and time with Jesus? Do you have any spiritual goals for 2023? These things are worth thinking about. What would it look like for you to sit at Jesus' feet each and every day this year? My point is, there's no substitute as a Christian. If I could preach one thing and one thing only, it would be this. Sit at Jesus' feet every day. Amen? It's vital, right? In the end of the day, this is your one thing. That one thing remains, I'm just saying that, it's being in the presence of God, amen? That should be the greatest reality of your life as a Christian. And everything else will start to fall into its proper place, right? Because if we're not sitting at Jesus' feet, we're going to be engaged in all kinds of weird little idolatries. Because we're putting emphasis on something that was never meant to be that emphasized. Does that make sense? One thing. Jesus must be our one thing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this new year, 2023. Thank you for the reminder of Mary and Martha. Lord, so many times we just bury ourselves in good things as Christians, and we wonder why we have no peace or why we can't hear Jesus' voice. And so, Lord, we're just re-reminded today that one of the most important spiritual practices that we could do throughout our lives is sit at Jesus' feet each and every day. Lord, for those who have kind of walked away from that practice or have gotten too busy with others, may this be an important and a holy reminder. And for those of us who may be doing that, may we redouble our efforts in reminding that time with Jesus is time well spent. And so, Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you, seek you as a spiritual family. And we pray all this only and always in Jesus' name, saying, amen.